You're listening to the Viral Molly Podcast. Now here's your host, Rob, on the mic.
Hey, good day, everyone. I'm Rob Aspero with the Viral Volley Podcast, and I've got David Hunt of Pepperdine, Dan Friend of Lewis University, and Jay Hossick of George Mason. We're here to break it down for you from week three play as we go into week four of NCAA D1-2 competition. Thanks for joining me today, gentlemen.
Good to be here.
Thanks for having us, Rob.
All right. Hey, you know what? Abnormal recording week. We're here on a Tuesday, so we actually have the benefit of a poll. So I thought we'd just like start and go right into the meat. But a lot of chatter about the way voting is going, and we discussed it in last week's episode, and David, you did actually mention it's been kind of awkward this year since teams are starting later than others, but apparently one of the people on the screen, will go the lower left guy, has started quite some chatter about voting in the AVCA poll. So let's go ahead and just hit that straight on, but I'm going to save Jay for last, and I'm going to go right to Dan, because I want to start him first. You know, he's always in the middle. So we're just going to start him first here.
Well, I think the poll's a little tough, like we talked about. So you're going to get into this where some teams are going to have 8, 9, 10 matches and some other teams haven't played at all yet. You know what I mean? And so do you honor the teams that have played with those rankings? And certainly some of those other teams may jump right up when they start playing. And so you just, depending on the voter is, they have to figure out for them how they want to look at it. You know what I mean? In terms of that. And I think that's a big piece with it. I think most of it is pretty good still in terms of where teams are at, they're doing, and I think you can still continue to see some shuffle because a few of those teams haven't played. But certainly, you know, with UCLA going to BYU, I think we'll get a little bit of a take on that going into the poll the following week, a bunch of conference matches going on besides that. So you can see some shifting and moving from that point. But I don't know. I think the poll's fine, you know, in terms of where it's at and what's going on from that standpoint.
All right, let's go to David Hunt.
Oh man, lots of thoughts. I said it last week. It's not the 2020 poll. You know, it's 2021, and unfortunately, some schools haven't been able to compete. Won't be able to compete for a while. That being said, are there really good coaches at those universities? Yes, damn good coaches. Some of the best in the country. And are there some good players? Yeah. And I think we got to take a piece from the college football playoff and go with the eye test, but you have to play here pretty soon to have that happen. And at least for myself, you know, it's not going to be something where you work your way up. I mean, if Santa Barbara plays and I maybe had ranked them 10 because they haven't played and somebody is 10-2 or whatever ahead of them, but then Santa Barbara plays and they look like the third best team in the country, then I'm going to rank them third. You know, there's not this, well, you can only get moved up so often, but the reality is if you haven't played a match, I think it's a disservice to the teams that are playing and putting in the time right now. Again, it's nobody's fault, or it's not a slap in the face, because I think some of the best, you know, coaches in the country are coaching some of those teams that I'm going to move down. But I just want to honor those that are playing matches right now.
Yep. How about you, Jay? I know you've got a lot brewing there.
You know, I think David nailed it right on the head. The challenge is this, you know, we as poll voters, you know, we have a job to do every week of honestly assessing who we think should be in which position. And some coaches take it really seriously, which, you know, they should. I mean, it's an honor to be on that poll, that voting poll. Some coaches don't do it very seriously, and they just kind of put who they believe and who they think, and they don't really watch any of the matches. There's a lot of bias that goes on, and there's some coaches that just check out and put in the same list all year long and just go, oh, I'm a voter, but they don't really take the time to go ahead and look at the schedules, see who's actually playing. I mean, there's some voters that are putting teams in this year that have no schedules because they're not playing this year. And that, to me, that's a disservice. That's a huge, huge bummer. The reality is this, I voted the way I voted because those teams played. I didn't not vote for BYU. I didn't not vote for Long Beach State. I just merely put some teams that had played in recent weeks and actually showed some really good stuff. I decided to give them a little bit of love. I thought they deserved it. As the season wears on and as people start to play and as people's results start to shake down, my poll is going to come back to a more normal balanced poll. But don't be surprised if I don't put some teams higher up there right now, because they deserve it. They're going out and they're playing, not by any fault of the people that can't. That's just the way that the cookie crumbles, but they deserve a little bit of love. So I'm giving them a little bit of love. And over time, other teams will start to creep back up and get back to their more normal spots. That's all.
I was thinking of one of the conversations I'd come across on Volley Talk, of course.
Yeah, and chill out, people. Chill out, Volley Talkers. It's not that big of a deal. It's not the world.
Well, I mean, the analogy that was given was, what would you do on the women's side if you voted Stanford 25? And the kind of chatter that would happen on the boards and just in the nation. It'd be, you know, like raining cats and dogs, end of times, apocalypse and everything. So
cats and dogs living together. It's pure
there you go. Ghostbusters reference. So it's great discussion, guys.
It's a challenge.
What's that?
It's a challenge. You know, and again, we all, you know, Dan, Dave, and I take this all seriously enough that it deserves an appropriate response from us, and we do our due diligence. You know, and if people are upset with it, that's fine. There's always room for discussion. I'm okay with discussion, but relax. It's not the end of the world.
Yep. Oh, well, you know, it was a shocker, you know, and when you just click the link and you see the polling, but Lewis won first place vote, which I'm like, oh, you know what? I wasn't going to name you, Jay.
I voted for him. I have no qualms about it.
It's public anyways. You gotta find the spreadsheet that's on the ABCA site.
Lewis is crushing people right now. BYU hasn't played anybody. Sorry, BYU, but I put Lewis number one.
Well, that's actually an excellent segue, because there was almost a reverse crushing of Lewis against NJIT, which is a hot topic last week. And man, we were referring to them as the Dark Horse Beast of the East. Let's just call them the Beast of the East at this point. That is a good team. And let's talk to the one who had firsthand experience already. Dan, what was it like playing against that huge team?
Well, it's interesting because we're huge. So I thought it was a similar dynamic in terms of size and certainly presented some challenges. And I thought NJIT was good. They played the first night. They had a couple chances against Loyola. They just didn't quite settle in. They've got a new setter that's kind of running the show. And he's trying to figure things out. And so, you know, the second night they were good against us, and you know, that there's a lot. So everybody's going to get used to this. You're playing back-to-back road matches, and we played at 12-12, and you know, waking up and getting used to that. And how do you recover? And you know, we're doing it at Ohio State this next week at 1-1. I'm not taking anything from NJIT. I thought they were great. They played well. They did a lot of good things. That the big Oppo guy is huge, you know, and their Spaniard is great, you know, and so did a lot of things. But I think all those things are playing into it. We talked about it, the guys, about being ready to go in the beginning. And, you know, and certainly NJIT had a shot to put us to bed, but I was proud of our guys and how they responded midway through the match. And, you know, TJ and Kuhn and a couple of our older guys.
No, do it right. You got to say the whole name.
TJ Murray. So, you know, those guys came alive for us, and, you know, and really nice things, and a lot of grit by our guys to find a way to win that match, which can really go a long ways down the road. So,
well, I wanted to drop some names in there, because there's the setters, new 6'7" freshman from Bridgewater Raritan in New Jersey, or Boundbrook, New Jersey. I thought he ran an excellent show. I mean, that's his first year running the court. And then you have the two Spaniards that were in the middle and the outside there for you, are Jimeno, and then the middle, Dichavarria. I probably butchered his last name, but guys are down 0-2. TJ Murray in the fourth set, back-to-back kills to push the fifth. A lot of drama there, but I'm going to go to David Hunt of Pepperdine and get his thoughts on this NJIT team.
Yeah, you know, NJIT was real impressive in terms of their physicality. I thought probably a freshman setter might have ended up costing him that match. Not that he made some mistakes, but just rhythm, timing. It looked like the opposite was hanging a little bit at times, and just struggled to find them, where Dan's team is filled with veteran guys who have experience. So I think that might have been the difference, you know, either further down the line later this year, or if you know, a year or some more experience with that setter, and maybe it's a little bit different. So, but they were impressive in terms of their physicality and what they can do.
And let's go to Jay, who will be seeing them numerous times this year. You're going to have a lot of preparation to do, apparently.
No, listen, I called it, you know, at the end of last year that NJIT was going to be a team that we should definitely be thinking about. And again, Danny has done such a nice job with recruiting. I agree with Dave 100%. I think the freshman setter, it wasn't his fault that they lost, but I think if you had the veteran setter Nito from last year in that lineup, I think it might have been a different story. They could have maybe gone 3-0 on Dan's team. They're that good with that kid at the helm. And I think the kid is in his first collegiate match the night before and dealing with being on the road and all those things that come with it on your first year. And I think maybe coming into the second match and playing a team like Lewis that's ranked very high and has some big bangers in that gym. And although that probably didn't scare him, he definitely probably felt the moment a little bit. And I think that maybe kind of helped a little bit in Dan's favor. But, you know, the Spaniard middle, the Spaniard outside, the Polish opposite, the Brazilian middle, I mean, they are just loaded to the gills with foreign kids that have tons of experience. And they are only going to get better. And NJIT is one of those teams that I think from now on, people will at first kind of go, NJI who? And now they're going to be like, yeah, NJIT. And by the way, this is Kevin Barnett's favorite team from the East is the NJIT Highlanders. He's been talking about them forever. So Kevin Barnett, I'm giving you a shout out. Your team's starting to rise in the ranks there a little bit. And they're going to do some damage in the next few years. So yeah, good performance. And Dan is 100% correct. Gritty performance by his team to come back. I mean, that's a sign of some veterans that know how to play in tight critical matches. They know how to play calm, cool, and collected and just play the next point. And that's a really good job by his team to come back and get that win and ultimately take the match.
Excellent. Hey, we're looking forward to seeing NJIT through this season because they're only going to get better, as you guys have all said, and they're pretty darn good. So, Jay, have fun seeing them multiple times. And, you know,
thanks.
Hey, next topic. Friday, things happened where Big West actually announced, they put out the release finally, that spring sports are a go. But with that announcement came some other issues, and a lot of news has developed actually since then. Great that it's a go, but Long Beach State and Cal State Northridge still hadn't been in the gym at all, whereas we know other teams have started practicing. But as of yesterday, I've seen on social media that now Long Beach State is officially back training. So I wanted to get your guys' response to the announcement of Big West going for men's volleyball. And we'll start with Jay on this one.
Well, it's great that they're finally getting able to get back in the gym and they've gotten the clearance to be able to play. And, you know, that's all really anybody wants is a chance to play. And so kudos to the Big West for making that happen. I'm wondering why the Big West women's volleyball was canceled. I don't know if that was just a scheduling issue or what the case might be. That to me is the bigger question. I always thought the Big West men's volleyball was going to happen. But regardless, Northridge and Long Beach might be at a little bit of a disadvantage, but not everybody has, you know, similar schedules for their practices. So, I still think to this day, Stanford has not been in the gym yet together. So, you know, I know they're not in the Big West, but wow, it's different across the board and everybody's got their own struggles. So kudos to the Big West for making that happen.
Yep. How about you, Dan?
Jay's sentiment is exactly. I think it's great that the Big West is playing, and it would have been horrible, I think, if we had a year and the Big West wasn't allowed to try and play. You know what I mean? So I'm grateful that they made that decision and they're able to do that. And we're all going to be navigating COVID over the next few months, and matches may be canceled or moved or things like that. But if we're getting the opportunity, I think that's all these guys are asking for. So,
yeah. And let's close out with David.
Yeah, I agree. With both these guys, I think it's great that the Big West is going. Nothing is fair this year. I don't think we can sit here and say, you know, well, this is fair. That's not fair. Nothing's fair, but everyone's going to have an opportunity to go play, which is what matters. And specifically for those, you know, guys that came back after having last year cut short. I am concerned about just the reality of, can they get a conference season in? You know, it seems like it's jam packed in there for about a month. If somebody tests positive, there's contact tracing. I mean, it's a disaster. We saw it in our conference without even starting yet. So 10 matches is the minimum to get into the NCAAs, I believe. So hopefully they can get those games in.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'd lied. Actually, there's subtopics about the Big West announcement, but I'd found out that apparently they're only going to be playing each other twice. And it wasn't, for lack of a better term, at the coaches discussion, but rather the athletic director's decision. But it turns out two schools, which I won't name, have decided to go ahead and play Hawaii a third time, and which is great. But why do you think such hesitancy to play a third, you think? So let's start with Dan on this one, and we'll end with David.
Yeah, I'm not sure. As I kind of read that, I think they wanted to give them a minimum that they were going to schedule, and then they were going to give them some latitude to kind of pick up those extra matches instead of making it a mandatory. And so, and maybe that was their thought process, like, hey, we're going to put this schedule together and then give you the latitude to add if you want to within your time frame. And so that's the only way I kind of looked at it and read it. And I'm like, well, they're going to have these matches for sure, and then they're going to be able to do a little bit more within conference, which I think most of those schools will. And so maybe they weren't just trying to make it mandatory. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. So.
How about you, Jay? Thoughts on that?
Your speculation, I think the two answers that come to me, our budget. I don't know that all teams will be able to afford to have a full travel schedule. And so who would get that third game? Would it be three at the same location or not? Would there be a return trip? I think the second one also is that only the first two matches count. And so the third one may be in a gentleman's agreement with them to be able to let some other guys play and get some action. You know, if it doesn't matter, and you've got some kids on the bench that maybe aren't going to see some action this year, it's an opportunity for them to get out and play and not just, you know, wear a mask and sit on the bench all year. So I think that's probably just my two best guesses.
Yep. How about you, David?
Yeah, I agree with Jay. You never know with the budgets. You know, I think as coaches, we're probably the lowest people on the totem pole at the university in terms of making these decisions. But then, you also, you know, going through it with the MPSF, I think you also have to be aware or conscious of the teams that haven't been in the gym yet. So you don't want to make a rule and then all of a sudden you're putting some kids at harm or in harm's way. You know, if they haven't practiced and all of a sudden you're saying they got to play three matches, you know, their second week in the gym. So I think there is some flexibility there. That would be, again, I haven't talked to any of the Big West coaches about it, but my guess is there's flexibility there just so if a team hasn't been in the gym yet, you know, they're not locked into playing three or four matches right off the bat and somebody gets hurt. And, you know, that would be, yeah, catastrophic for somebody's team.
Well, you know, I did a segment and did a fan solicited question online, but one of them was, what are the odds that some of the postponed matches later in the season will not be made up? So I think it'd be an appropriate time to respond to that. We'll start with you, Dan.
I think the odds are at least 50-50, if not high. I don't know. I think, you know, there's like we've got a couple flex weeks built in our schedule, one in the middle and one at the end. There's a couple conferences that don't have any flex weeks built in. So I think it gets tough. You know what I mean? I think the EVA is doing four matches for a reason. You know what I mean? Because I know there's an opportunity for some of them to get cut. I think, you know, the MPSF is doing, you know, three matches, if I'm right, Dave. So, but I think it's going to be tough and there's going to be some cancellations that aren't made up. And so, and that's where we talk about the poll and everything else. It's like only so much can go off speculation and what teams play. That's what we're going to have to figure out as we move down. Think about the state championship committee. You know, they get down to the end and if there are some cancellations, that job's going to get tough. Like you certainly have your auto bids, but you know, how do they figure out who's playing what matches and they're not playing against cross conferences and all that stuff and everything. And so, you talk about some chatter. Wait till that gets to that at the end of the year. That chatter.
We'll be sure to publish your guys' email address and cell phone numbers.
So that fan's question is just, no, I think there's a good chance the matches are going to get canceled, not made up. So
anything else to add, gentlemen? I think as Dan hit a bunch of the topics, I imagine you guys are going to talk about as well, about the flex weeks. But if you have anything else to add on there.
Yeah. Before you go. I know Dave's got something to say too, so I'll be quick. I think our conference doesn't have any flex weeks built in, but with the four matches, you know, we may have to play double headers down the line if we need to. And if anybody thinks that, you know, that Ohio State got a little gift given to them by not playing the six football games required and still got invited to go to the bowl games, we wait until the NCAA has to come up with this one. This is going to be tough.
All right, David.
Yeah, I think that more than likely a lot of the matches that get canceled won't be made up. And that's just my feeling in terms of everyone has their own opinion on, well, I don't want to play, you know, three matches this week. I do want to play. And it's, there's no uniform, at least for a lot of our conferences. I don't think there's a uniform commissioner saying, no, you're going to play on this day. And here's the time you're going to play. And so I think it's up to the discretion of the coaches. And at the end of the day, I think it's going to be hard. Me and the UCLA coaches worked real hard to schedule a match early in the week because we both had USC cancel on us. So we were trying to pick up a match. And I mean, I just saw the hurdles we both ran into in terms of just facilities and, you know, then testing protocols. And well, if you're going to play on this day, then we got to coordinate. And it just, I mean, me and Hawks were basically talking every, you know, hour on the hour, and it couldn't happen. So if there's any sort of reservation by a coach to not schedule that match, it's really not going to happen. And they can have a lot of reasons why it doesn't happen. So it's sort of irritating because I want to get out there and have the guys play, but yeah, not everyone has that same opinion.
All it takes is a screwdriver and the ability to wedge open the door at Brentwood High School down the way from Pauley Pavilion. They got a good facility. So, hey, I wanted to talk about some of the stuff that happened last week, but it seemed like there are quite a few five-set thrillers, extended sets. What happened this last week? Because I didn't expect there to be such, like, at least from a score standpoint, that much competition. But is it because it's was it new for everyone? You know, what are your thoughts on the competition that's happening so far? Because it was a pretty thrilling week. We'll start with who started the week off. Oh, David did, with a five-setter at Concordia.
Yeah, I mean, it's no shock when I'm watching these matches, at least for our own conference, that, I mean, there's just really good volleyball teams, you know, and there's a lot of veteran teams. So that just means there's a lot of good plays being made and a lot of teams that just know how to compete. So it's not a shock when I watch, but at least those are the teams I'm familiar with.
Yep. And Dan, who also was the benefit of a five-set thriller and an almost straight set sweep, but turned it into a reverse sweep, thanks to TJ Murray.
You know, TJ Murray just got a defensive player of the week, so we'll throw that out there too. I'm not surprised at all. I think one part Dave hit on was you got some returning veteran players on a lot of teams that know how to play. So we're going to see some great volleyball across the year. Yeah. So I don't think there's as much difference in some of these teams when it comes to competing. So I think that's one piece of it. It's early in the year. That's the other piece. We see that a lot of times early in the year and teams are still trying to figure things out and plan. And so, but it's exciting. Yeah. I mean, yeah, certainly I watched Dave's and I know I was front seat for my own and then Loyola had one and then there was one with Queens. And so there's, you know, a lot of volleyball going on, a lot of guys competing hard right now because they haven't got to compete in a while. And so I think it's just a touch of it. You're going to see a lot more. You're going to see a lot more grind matches, which is great for the fan and hard on the coaches sometimes, but certainly happy we're playing with that. So
I love the fact that Kevin Colling put away your match winner on that five setter. He got the broken play set.
No, that was our oppo that rolled it into the block and the block didn't block it and it went down the front of him. Do you know what I mean?
I couldn't see, my little window was too small, but
so freshman Landon, he got the game winner the night before when he jousted some kid on the ground. I think Landon weighs 110 pounds, but so that was good too.
And let's close out with Jay, who is the outsider looking in this week because he only had a 3-0 win, and but he did go 5 the previous against Ball State. So what are your thoughts on what's happening?
We had 2 3-0 wins this weekend, not just one. Secondly, we had a five gamer the week prior, so we are experienced in that. And I agree 100% with what Dave and Dan are saying. It's just a matter of experienced teams coming out and playing hard. They know how to win, and you're going to see a lot of grinding this season. And hey, you know what? In a shortened season, more sets of volleyball, better for the fans. They get a chance to see more volleyball. And you're right, Dan. It's a little bit of a headache for us coaches, but hey, we knew the job was dangerous when we took it.
Yep. Final of the miscellaneous notes from this last week. We've seen now two teams have postponed matches due to COVID. How, as a coach, do you, adapt to what's happening? And we talked about it a little bit because, I mean, the fact of the matter is it's happening. Unfortunately, it's USC, Lees McRae, but what kind of attitude do you have as coaches, and how do you project that to your teams? And we'll start with Dave.
Yeah, I mean, the first one is, so Jeff in that scenario for us, I mean, my heart goes out to him, because that every coach is trying their hardest to make sure that nothing affects them, but it's going to happen. Statistically, it's not in our favor. It's going to happen more and more. And then you just try to make the best of it with your team. You try to get on the phone with other coaches that are affected and try to schedule a match. Like I said, we were on the phone with UCLA right away, trying to schedule a match. We worked real hard to play it anywhere. We didn't try Brentwood High School. So that's our fault. Maybe we didn't try as many things as we thought, but.
Well, Marymount High School is right there too, if you want to break into their gym.
Yeah. Great. Yeah. Right across the street. Right. So it's, yeah, I mean, you just get on the phone with other coaches that are affected, try to work something out, and then you just make the best of it. Everyone obviously has different schedules, and we're all trying to just figure it out as we go. So
how about you, Dan? Thoughts on having to respond to this time in history with the cancellations?
I don't know. Every time we get tested, I'm nervous. Do you know what I mean? So I have no control over it, and the guys have no control over it. So we really don't talk to them outside of it. It's like, hey, we're getting tested. If something happens, we'll deal with it. Otherwise, you guys just focus on what's in front of you. And all I'm right. Sure it's going to happen sometime where something's getting canceled, and that'll be our message. It'll be like, hey, if it's us, rest, recover, stay on top of school stuff. If it's another team that's being canceled and we're not getting to play them, hey, opportunity to get some reps, get a little bit better if we can't get a match in or whatever with that. And so I think it's your outlook and your attitude. And I told the guys, and certainly you're going to have to be water for sure this year, move, flow, not get mad, not get upset, just like, hey, we're playing, move on to the next thing. We'll tackle it as it comes. And I think your attitude towards this whole piece is really important. So,
yeah. And Jay, how about your thoughts on it?
Yeah, no, adaptation is absolutely key, and the ability for us to be able to just kind of flow with go with the flow and not worry so much about what's coming next, but just take what comes at you right now and deal with it. And the other benefit, I know that the Miva has got some that are relatively close, but Dave and the Big West guys all out in California, that the benefit they have that we don't is that they're all pretty close to each other. You can face probably one of six or seven teams all with a short hour and a half drive. And if you drive 2 hours, then you got another team down there you can play. And so that's a real benefit. We don't have that luxury out here where our closest competitor is 3.5-4 hours away. And so for us to be able to try to schedule something with that team would be really, really tough. And so, it just is what it is. And we all try to mitigate the issues as much as possible and, just kind of keep grinding away and keep hoping for that next.
I probably should have phrased it in the fan question, but that was actually one of the questions, the unexpected benefit from the pandemic restrictions and how it's benefit your team and have your teams come closer. Would you say that your teams have gotten closer having to deal with this additional time in history? And we'll start with you, Jay.
I'm going to actually say no. I think our team is actually not benefiting at all from COVID. I mean, we're learning some life lessons. That's for sure. We're learning that life is not always fair, and that, sometimes you get curveballs thrown at you, and you're gaining some valuable lessons that later on in life might prove to be beneficial. But I think, my team can only be so tight when throughout the year, when you can only spend so much time with each other. I know, our guys have a volleyball house where a bunch of them live, and normally there's the entire team is there after a match. It's just the way that it works across the country in any sport. And when you don't have that luxury, I think you're missing some key components and key things that help guys deal with situations a little bit better. So no, I don't think there's a real benefit at all. I think it's just, it's another thing we have to deal with.
All right. How about you, Dan? Thoughts on having the unexpected benefits, if there are any?
I agree with Jay. No, it's been like, we couldn't go paintballing. We couldn't go do our dunes trip. We couldn't go do all the little things that we do that are, these team bonders and guys get to hang out, or you're trying to figure out how to eat on the road where you typically try to eat together. I mean, no, I think lots of different challenges in the sense of not having that same team camaraderie, even on the bench. And you guys know how rowdy my bench is. It's like, oh no, you guys got to separate. You can't do your rowboat or you can't do this. It's like, what? We're masked. And so just pieces like that to kind of take away from the things that the guys are used to and enjoy. I think those are the tough things. The guys are dealing with it well. I mean, we had to actually eliminate our red shirts off the bench, which we've never done. Those guys go on the other side of the stands, or you know, where the bleachers are, and ask me if they could dress up. So we got five guys that are red shirts on the other side doing something. We don't have any fans. So they're dealing with it well, but certainly no, I don't think it's the same or it's in the benefit of the guys at all from that standpoint. You know, I think that they're dealing with it well, and that's all we can do. We keep trying to get better in terms of that stuff. And I think school is a challenge too. We're not even touching on, we're talking about the volleyball side. And guys are trying to do online learning. Teachers are trying to get better at online learning, and all that stuff's pretty difficult at the same time. And so you're trying to make sure you're trying to help the guys and have them be successful, but that's difficult.
All right. And let's close out with David.
Yeah, I agree with Dan and Jay. It's it hasn't necessarily been all positives. You know, I think the positives that come out of it are the ones that we framed well. I guess the one thing that I think has been a pleasant surprise has been it's opened the door to have some really tough conversations about some things that we typically wouldn't talk about, you know, mental health being a big one, the anxiety and the stress that we're all feeling, and not being able to convey that to our friends, to our family, to people that mean a lot to us, not being able to see our friends and family. So all of those things have been tough, but we've been able to talk about them. So that's been nice. But what these athletes go through on a daily basis is a lot harder than probably what everyone realizes.
Well, that's a good way to end our episode of the Varl Volley Podcast. We got some big matches coming up this week, starting up some conference play in looks like all the conferences except the Big West. But I'm a little embarrassed, Sarah, but you know, I'm just happy we're going. So,
hey, that might hurt him in Jay's ranking there. So,
well, hey, we've got David Hunt of Pepperdine University, Dan Friend of Lewis, and Jay Hossig of George Mason. We'll catch you guys next week, and good luck in your matches this week. I'll be watching on all my screens. So, look forward to chatting with you guys next week.
Thanks, Rob. See you guys later.
Hey y'all, thanks for listening to today's episode of the Varl Volley Podcast. Be sure to follow Rob at Rob on the Mic on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, or at robonthemic.com. Check you next time.